This is Gilbert Andrew Garcia. Listen to my radio show, A Tip from Gilbert. Talk, inspiration, and prayer every Monday from 11 a.m. till noon on Houston's gospel leader, KWWJ, 1360 a.m. and streaming live on KWWJ.org. Listen on the legendary KYOK, 1140 a.m. and streaming live on KYOKradio.org. KCOH, 1230 a.m., The Source. On Sand Geek Radio, 95.1 FM, 1460 a.m. And Aliento Radio, 101.7 FM and 1540 a.m. Call in at 832-570-8075 and follow me on social media. See you then. Right, Houston, here we go. Another episode of A Tip from Me, A Tip from Gilbert, Chalk, Inspiration, and Prayer with my sidekick, Ruby Dang. Ruby, welcome.
Hey, Gilbert. Happy Monday, everyone.
Yeah, first of all, I want to find out, what have you been doing? Have you been, like, Christmas shopping?
I haven't been Christmas shopping.
You haven't?
But I've been in the spirit of Christmas, and I've been decorating the house for the
first time. You've been decorating your house?
Yes.
Like, what does that mean?
I went and bought some Christmas decorations to decorate the inside of the house, as well as especially focusing on my kiddos. You know, this is the first year I'm an empty nester because both kids are off at A&M.
Are you getting a little weepy?
Getting a little weepy. And so what I wanted to do was when they get home to like have them be embraced by the spirit of Christmas. So for the first time ever, I'm decorating every room in the house.
And so like, what are you doing as a decoration?
I've got little themes in every part of the house, you know, different rooms. Like I've got a theme, Christmas theme with Christmas trees in my son's room. And in my daughter's room, it's more Santa Claus themed, things like that.
That's,
you know,
great.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's a way for me, one, to like still be connected with them while they're out of the house, and hoping that, you know, it leads to a new tradition.
Maybe it's like sort of a therapeutic
for me. Yeah, yes. I think it is.
I'm tongue-tied today, but maybe it's kind of like a way to deal with it all.
I think so. You know, I really enjoy, and this is something that my husband and I did together. So it was nice that he and I, you know, went shopping, and you know, that's a lot for, as you know,
yeah,
for a couple, right? And we
without killing each other,
but yeah, it was different because it's not like you're buying gifts, right? It was, I think it was a gift for the family, right? Because it's something we did together, and we're doing it because we want, when the kids to come home, to know that we were thinking about them along the way. And I think too, being therapeutic, right? It just kind of, it makes the holiday season, you know, a little more bearable with them being out of the house. You know, it was, you know, it's just a different phase in my life now.
I think that's wonderful. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, when I was young, and actually when I was married, but you know, early in my marriage, I would love just to go into a Walgreens.
Yeah.
And I would go right after the holidays and try to buy everything, you know, half price, you know, 75% off.
Yep.
And I would love anything that was sort of like electronic type Santa Claus, you know, where he's either
dancing or singing.
Yeah, he's one of those. He's
jiggling.
Yeah, he's going like that, you know, or he's just like rocking.
Yeah.
But I would love those.
Yeah.
And of course, I would buy them all, and I would put them all over the place. And of course, my wife would just like say, "Oh, please, you know, we're not going to be putting up those things anymore."
Yeah.
So I think that she's been doing this thing behind my back. Like every now and then there's one missing.
Oh, yep.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, whatever happened to that one? Whatever happened to that one? And all of a sudden there's like, you know, it's like, where happened to all my mechanical Santa Clauses? I think we already have a caller here. Let's see who we got here. AJ.
AJ? I'll
try
for you now. One moment.
Is there an AJ on the phone? AJ, are you there, pal? Hello.
Hey, how are you? It's 11:05.
There you go. 11:05, and times, what do they say? We're burning daylight. AJ, what do you got for us here on A Tip from Gilbert?
Yeah, Gilbert told me to call him at 11:05 Monday when I spoke with him last week. We were talking about voter turnout and getting.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I got it. AJ, you're right. I am Gilbert. am I Gilbert?
Yes,
I am. And I wanted you to call. Go through. What is going on with all this low participation and everything? What do you think is going on out there?
I think, you know, people are so distracted, and some people are, of course, apathetic, and some people just bottom line don't care. They just, whatever happens, happens, and then we'll just complain about it later.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as, you know, when we talk about getting out the word about voting, you know, every November there's an election. There are signs, there are commercials. If you don't know that it's time to vote, I don't know what to tell you. You know, of course, you know, I grew up at a time when there was no early voting. There was just absentee voting, and everybody voted on election day.
Wow.
So we've made it easier to vote, but less people vote. And matter of fact, I was doing a little research, and in the midterm elections, less than 50% of eligible voters voted in the midterm elections. So that we can't even get to maybe 60%, but here in the mayor election, 17%. So 83% of the people that are eligible to vote didn't vote. So that says a lot about the people as individuals.
Well, you know, look, I ran for office and I did everything I could to get the word out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, I was on radio, I was on TV, everything. And, you know, I would go to some of the polling places, et cetera, et cetera. And it was very, very, I don't know, discouraging.
Yes.
What do you think that we can do as a candidate to get more people involved? I mean, is it, you know, part of me thinks, well, the media doesn't do a good enough job because, you know, you got all these very, very important races and they're not even covering them all. But I think you have a different angle and a very good point, which is people should know it's a civic duty and they should vote. And so I feel you, and I think you're right.
And, you know, this is Ruby. Hi, AJ.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you again for calling in. You know, I think this is really important. And I think, and you can correct me, the majority of the voters this time, they were 65 years and older. So I think the focus that we need to, you know, turn our focus to is the youth, the next generation. You know, maybe they just don't understand some of the struggles we all went through to have this right, to encourage them to participate.
Or maybe they don't know yet because they're too, what's the right word? Too young in their lives.
Yeah. They, you know,
they don't have any, they're not married. Yeah. They don't have kids. They don't understand about taxes.
They think that it does, their votes don't
That's
matter.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're just too busy.
Yeah.
I don't know. What, you have a thought on that, AJ?
Well, I can tell you for myself personally, when my youngest daughter turned 18, it was right before, you know, the next election, she turned 18. We went together and voted.
Oh, how it was great.
It's a family thing. Like, hey, look, you talk about all the things that are going on. Hey, you have to vote. So we went together. We took pictures. It was a big deal. It was kind of like a, you know, a rite of passage. Just like when you become 18, there's certain things come along with becoming, as they call it, adults, which are really not adult in my mind, but you're still a dependent. But you know, there are things that come along with it. So I made sure, like, okay, you're 18 now. The election is coming up. But I also told her, don't vote the way I vote. You do your own research and you vote your conscience, because what may be important to you may not be as important to me.
Mm-hmm.
But why not with technology? Like, we have alerts on the phone when somebody, a child, which is a great thing, is missing, or elderly person is missing, have on the phone where, like, early voting starts tomorrow, something like that, you know, on TikTok or whatever. And they look at all these videos about crazy things that people are doing on TikTok. They pay more attention to that.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, I don't know if, you know, that kind of platform allows that, where it's like, okay, we're going to have this alert where it's like early voting starts in this area or something. So the information is out there, but I still don't know what you can do to make people care. Maybe I guess if the lottery was up to $1 billion, we'd have.
Boy, if you got a free ticket to vote, there'd be lines everywhere. Well, you know.
But then again, then they vote for somebody just so they could get access to a free ticket. So
I know. Well, let's do this. You know, the vote is next this coming Saturday.
Yep. Saturday.
So that means next Friday, next Monday, we will be able to talk about who our new mayor is. Mm-hmm. AJ, call me Monday if you don't mind. Let's talk about how was the voting turnout. Can we talk about that Monday?
I'll just make a prediction. It'll probably be pretty sad.
I know. Well, I'm going to take the other side of that, but you know what? I don't think I am.
Mm-hmm. Hey, well, Gilbert, let me say this before I go.
Please.
Like, we were talking about this, about what's important to people. And like I was talking about how cleaning up the neighborhoods, the illegal dumping and things like that.
Right.
That's really important to core voters. Of course, crime is going to always be with us. Like I said, I retired from the police department. Crime is just a part of living. But other things like cleaning up the neighborhood, you know, streets, you know, city services where, you know, that your garbage is going to be picked up on the day it's supposed to be picked up.
That's right.
And that goes to staffing issues. We want to blame the city for a lot of the ills, but it's staffing. You can't do the job if you can't hire the people.
Amen to that. Well, let's do this. I've got about four people on hold, if you can imagine
no
that.
Problem.
But I want to talk to you when we see what the numbers are. And let's hope we're pleasantly surprised. Okay, my friend?
Okay. Yes.
Thank you, my friend. I really look forward to it. Let's,
okay, take care.
Yes, sir. Producer, let's put on Councilmember Peck. Councilmember, are you there? Councilmember, are you there? Council member.
Yes.
Can you hear me, council member?
I can.
This is Gilbert Garcia with my designated sidekick, Ruby Dang. And council member, I am so grateful that you would call in today. You are talking to Houston. We're on five stations right now, live. And I wanted to have you on because you know what? You made history, councilwoman.
Well, thank you so much for having me today to talk about the proposed ordinance.
And but do you realize, think about this. Someone's going to in the future say, when did this happen? And did council do anything right away? And we're going to be able to say, yes, you seized the moment. And I think that's phenomenal. Would you just tell everyone on our, of course, we've been talking about it already the last couple of weeks. What is it that we passed? And why was it so important?
So the people voted on a charter amendment to allow three council members to put items on the agenda. Until this passed, only the mayor could put items on the agenda. And so we as council members didn't have that ability to actually put any proposals on there. And so now we can, thanks to the voters. And so we were able to put an item on the agenda for the first time.
Isn't that amazing? Because I saw what y'all put on there, the whole concept of, essentially helping the citizens with high water bills. Mm-hmm. I mean, part of me wants to say, why wouldn't the mayor want to do something like that? Why did it take council to do that? But at the end of the day, thank goodness for council.
Yeah, well, it sounds like the mayor is also working on an ordinance that will also be on the agenda this week about water bills. And so I'm just glad that it may have sparked some kind of change and hopefully a positive change.
There's no doubt.
Water bills.
I mean, look, there's no doubt it did. And so even if y'all's what you proposed didn't go through, the mere fact that you did it, I think, what do they call it? Just shook up the weeds there or something.
Right.
That is so great. And of course, you're in a great position because you ran unopposed.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did. Thanks to everyone in District A, getting to do this another 4 years. So there's a lot of items that I'm looking at right now to put on the agenda. So I'm really excited about that.
Well, you're such a good council member. Let me ask you this. Tell us, what's going to be on your agenda here I'm just going to say it, 100 days or the first 6 months. What are you hoping to accomplish this time around?
Well, there's a lot of infrastructure concerns in District A that we are in the process of either getting funded or moving that project along. And so I look forward to continuing those projects and, of course, continuing to work on public safety. That is the top priority in District A. So supporting our police officers and our firefighters.
Well, that is fantastic. And let me tell you, on the whole water issue, do we know, how widespread is it really that people's water bills are, I know they're higher because I know mine is higher, but how widespread is it that they're not correct? Is that, I mean, do you hear that people say, oh, they just estimated it, and it's way too high? I mean, what really is the issue? Do you know?
Yeah, so there's a lot of issues going on right now. One of the issues that we're trying to address with this proposed ordinance is that Public Works oftentimes will just estimate usage on someone's water bill, and they're not actually going to the meter to read it. And so what happens is when someone actually does finally go out to read it, they find out that they have been estimating too low, and then they go back. The current ordinance says that they can go back up to 2 years to correct that bill. And so sometimes they're going back, you know, up to 2 years and saying, oh, you actually owe us thousands and thousands of dollars.
Oh my gosh.
Which, you know, in even in the private sector, you wouldn't have a company doing something like that. So it's absolutely ridiculous if the city can't do its job and read the meters on time in the way, you know, in a timely fashion, then we can't expect people to go back and pay that money. And so, but the proposed ordinance does allow for us to go back up to 2 years if it's in the customer's favor. So if we realize that we've overcharged for 2 years, we can actually go back and make that correction.
What about if it's the other way around? How far can you go back?
So under the proposal, it will only allow the city to go back 3 months.
So what that means, it sounds like, Houston, is the water folks need to get it right. Mm-hmm. Because if they don't, the implications are we could be undercharged. Is that correct, Councilmember?
That is correct. Oh. If they can't, you know, if they can't go and read the meters like they're supposed to in a timely fashion, then they don't get to go back months and months and months,
right,
to charge people.
Now, I mean, Councilwoman, I mean, it just doesn't sound normal to me. What does it mean that they don't even read the meter? Whatever happened to when you were growing up and you had the meter man and he'd come around and, you know, and that was what you saw. Is it that we just don't have enough people to go read the meters? Is that probably one of the things going on?
That is definitely one of the issues going on. We don't have enough staff to actually go and read all of the meters. Something that I have been pushing for is to install the electronic nodes on every single water meter so that it automatically just sends information to Public Works. No one has to go out there to physically read the meter. But the really good thing about those electronic nodes is that it also can notify people in real time if they have an excessive, if they have an excessive amount of water being used, so that they can look in real time and see if there's a leak or if there's something else going on at their house, rather than just getting a surprise bill at the end of the month and not realizing, you know, what may have happened on a particular moment in time. Mm-hmm. So we really need to get that installed on everyone's meter.
What a great idea that is.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. I mean, that's just like saying, you know what, let's just start using technology, right?
Yeah.
You know what they say?
Absolutely.
Computers are our friends.
We are supposed to be a technology city.
Yeah,
so
right.
We need to do it.
We can put a person on the moon,
yeah,
you know, in 1969, but we can't figure out how to check the meter.
But it'd be interesting to see what percentage of bills are being using estimation.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that's gone up, which has caused all these bills to increase, which has caused folks to be aware and then bring this issue to
life. Well, it seems to me the real issue too is think about folks on, you know, fixed incomes and seniors, and you know, they don't know anything.
Exactly.
I mean, because they're busy just going through their lives, and all of a sudden they see a bill, they're like, "Holy Toledo!" Yeah, there's like a comma in that number,
and
they're like, "Is there something wrong?"
Right.
You know, I don't even have a pool.
Exactly.
And they're like, "What is happening?" Well, thank goodness for people like the councilwoman, Amy Kopech, that's just going to say, I'm going to protect the people.
Right.
You are a hero, Amy. And so I just really wanted to make sure that you knew that. I'm so glad you called in. What do you want to sell Houston? What else do you got going there that you want Houston to know about you and District A? And by the way, I toured District A, and I never realized how big that district is. It is humongous. And so hats off to you to represent such a diverse group there in the district.
Thank you. Yeah, District A is very big. It'll be the largest council district after redistricting
happens
in January.
Wow.
It's Spring Branch, Inwood, basically all Northwest Houston. And so we have a lot of really exciting things going on in District A, infrastructure projects and, you know, all kinds of exciting things for the people who are living here.
Well, you know what? I'm going to have you back just because I just think you do such a great job. So we're going to invite you back on the show. And thank you so much. Why don't you give us your how people can meet you, you know, your website, everything like that. Yeah, how can people reach you?
Anyone can send us an email to districta@houstontx.gov. Or you can also just Google Amy Peck, City of Houston, and our city website comes right up there.
Wonderful. Councilmember, thank you for making time out of your busy day for us.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. That's what you call a real public servant, yep, right there, right there. Now, I know
making a difference.
Yes, I know. And, you know, and she's not doing it just like for her district.
Right.
She's really got the whole view of the whole city. Exactly. Now, we have a very special guest. If we could put on the congresswoman, please. Let me just see if she's there. Hold on, Houston. Get ready for this. Congresswoman, are you there? Congresswoman, can you hear me?
I certainly can.
Congresswoman, how are you? This is Gilbert Garcia of A Tipkin with Gilbert and my sidekick, Ruby Dang. And we are on five stations today. I wanted to get you on because, you know, Congresswoman, I think there's four of you.
That's right.
Have you noticed that? Congressman, you're like everywhere. Yes. You are the hardest heart. I'm tongue tied today.
The hardest working
member of Congress.
Yes,
by far. I don't know how you do it. It's amazing, and my hat is ticked off to you.
Well, let me thank you for the great work you do for the economic engine of this community. You're right in the middle of it, and certainly want to express my appreciation and your co-host for your civic commitment, getting information out, and your outstanding civic commitment in your very fine run to be the next mayor of the city of Houston. Of course, I'm still on that battlefield, seeking to be the mayor that the city of Houston and Houstonians can trust, the mayor that cares about them, the mayor that has promoted the change they can believe in and to take them into the future and to beat back forces that are only there to do for themselves. We need a mayor that will build on doing for the community and will do it transparently, honestly, with integrity, and every resource will be pushed back to the community.
Well,
I'm do that.
Let me ask you this, Congresswoman, because, you know, I have been on very vocal on the show here the last several weeks,
right,
about the senator and, you know, his position on Metro, which essentially his he won't take one, which really means he wants to take the money away from Metro. That's what that means. And without any regard to what about the those that need transportation the most. What about the people in that do not have a car? He just not relates to the people. So let me ask you this. I want people to know, because I just want to put it out there for you, that if it weren't for Congresswoman Shiza Jackson Lee,
yep,
we would not have gotten the roughly $1 billion from the federal government, which expanded our light rail. But it did so much more than that, Ruby, because
that's
when
right.
You do something like that, you do all the improvements on the streets, you do all the drainage. I mean, it's much more than just rail. And so, Congresswoman, I know you were there because I was there, you know, watching you talking to the member of the cabinet, the president's cabinets on a weekly basis to get that money. And so we really, really appreciate that. And I just hope that if someone's out there, just ask the senator, what is his position on Metro and the full funding grant, on the whole monies that Metro gets from the general mobility. What do you say there, Congresswoman?
His position would be catastrophic, devastating to this city. It would take this city down 20 steps when it's on the rise. We worked extensively. We were denied the opportunity for rail because we had local leadership that did not support light rail or mobility and under Metro of any kind. which put a thorn in some members, but not me, to continue to press every year for Houston to be able to get what we call New Start money, while Dallas was speeding past us with their rail system. And of course, I had worked with Mayor Whitmire, and I'm very proud of her support to boost this rail concept, because you're very right. Rail is a public asset and a public contribution to the citizens who pay their taxes. It is a reflection that we are a city of haves and have-nots, but we're also a city that is prepared to welcome international competitions and conferences, conventions, that we're a world-class city, as you said, that we're better than Paris, better than Rome, and better than our international cities from the Southwest, South and Central America to Europe and beyond. But it's most importantly for those men and women, those families who get up every day and their source of income is dependent on public transportation, getting them to their workplace with dignity and respect and a clean source of transportation. That was always my commitment. And whenever my opponent is asked the direct question, what will he do with Metro? My direct answer is, I will bolster it. I will advocate.
Amen.
I will get more money and more new starts. And we'll do something that Gilbert Garcia wants. We'll make it a fully comprehensive system so that it will have bus systems that travel in neighborhoods, that you can travel in your own neighborhood, that takes you out of your neighborhood, maybe to a targeted train stop, or maybe all the way across town, or maybe out to NASA, or maybe out to the ends of the jurisdictional lines of Metro. That's what we want, a comprehensive system. Whenever the question is asked, there is no response, because it is our belief, and the allies that he has around him are all committed to using Metro as a piggy bank, to eliminating much of its employment base, to shrink it down, and to make it more of a source of income for the city's trials and tribulations, if you will, rather than being creative on that, and then to leave thousands of Houstonians,
you know,
empty-handed with no transportation.
You know, Congresswoman, I didn't mean to cut you off there. You know, one of course, the popular blogger who's, you know, one of those guys that just sort of has all the answers. You know, he's talking about how he did a survey. And I'm thinking to myself, you did a survey, and that was probably, what, 500 people? Whereas we've already had two referendums that had overwhelming support for Metro, overwhelming support for expanding the bus network, going into Metro Next, getting more light rails, getting more, park and rides, everything. We've already had two referendums. And the one that we did, Juan, was almost 80% of the vote. And then the most recent one was about 70% of the vote. And so I'm kind of like, what are you doing? I mean, haven't we already fought this battle? And shouldn't we move on and embrace Metro rather than continue to throw stones at Metro and continue to watch other cities benefit from federal dollars and not Metro and not Houston? It makes no sense, Congresswoman.
It makes no sense because the people that are needing Metro are too busy working, maybe two jobs, than being able to take a survey. They're not there to answer the phone or a text. They're moving from one job to the next on public transportation. And there are many in our city that work two jobs to support their families. We as a city need to be as respectful of them, as accommodating of them, because they too contribute to the economy of this city.
Amen.
And we should not ignore them saying that their system of livelihood gets thrown out because I see real money that I can tinker with or literally raid Metro to try and shore up, rather than honestly looking at what we need to address and how we need to prioritize in the budget.
Amen. You know, we already had a mayor a while back that raided permanently one quarter of Metro's revenue stream. And people say, how come we don't have rail here and where to these other areas? And it's like, it's real simple. They took the money from Metro permanently. And over the years, I calculated $4 billion has not gone to Metro projects. And that doesn't even include with the federal match opportunities, which at one time was 4-1. Yep. And so these people have done a terrible disservice to the region. But I want to talk one more thing with you, if you don't mind, Congresswoman, which is if you look at Metro, for even if you don't ride it, meaning people who just, you know, say, oh, well, I don't want to ride it because for whatever reason, one thing's for sure, whether you go to the Astros, the Texans, whether you go to the rodeo, the only way you can go to those, you know, high impact areas are on Metro. I mean, imagine the rodeo if we didn't have Metro. Right. Just, I mean, it's already paralyzed on 610 for the whole month of March. Imagine, you know, trying to do the file four or the World Cup. We wouldn't be able to pull it off if it weren't for the hardworking people at Metro and the service that we have.
Well, let's be very clear. We wouldn't even be contenders.
There you go.
Major events, both domestic and international, the Super Bowl that we've had twice.
Yep.
And rail was very much a component of that. Major League Baseball and the World Series. And of course, we certainly congratulate our Astros for getting it here, but it certainly would have been a great burden to not have that asset. And then, of course, the World Cup and more to come. Our International Petroleum Conference that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We've had environmental conferences. We're looking to bring diverse groups in all the time. And I might add, they've gotten political conventions.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have a system that the convention people can tout. They can say they have a rail and it's growing. They can say they have a rail that will get them between stadiums and hotels. But here is enormously outrageous that we would view this as insignificant and then misinterpret what public transit is. It is not a profit center. It's not supposed to be profit.
That's right.
And you're absolutely insane and absurd to be able to suggest it's not making any money. That's why we have public-private, public-local partnership between the federal government and local government. The federal government wants to invest in the nation's infrastructure and mobility. And we've made that commitment. And we only work with those cities that are willing and ready to do so. Willing and ready to do so. That's why we got overlooked years back. But that's is a positive impression of us now, part to build that impression up to ensure that we can keep a rail system that is viable and vibrant and goes into neighborhoods. I want that hourly worker, whether they're at Burger King or McDonald's, to have the respect of a clean transportation to get them where they are. And I've seen situations, Gilbert, where parents had gotten on the bus because they want to take their children to school, taking their children to school and drop them off on public transportation, not a school bus, because maybe the school bus didn't come to where they were. And then they get back on the bus to go to their workplace.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of experience that I'm familiar with, that others who seek this position have no clue on some of the desperate needs of people who live here. That's why I'm also talking about kitchen table issues. That's why I'm also talking about transparency and making sure that we are fighters against corruption, which is attributable to individuals who themselves may not be doing what is right,
mm-hmm.
Who's leading and not leading. You've got to just stand up against all of that and say that it will be the little person, it'll be the communities of families and children who every day are contributing to the economy of this city. not by writing a big check, not by using millions of dollars in a mayoral campaign, but by their labor and their sweat. And we need to honor and respect them.
Well, I think that's phenomenal. Let me do one more thing, if I could, Congresswoman, which is, what was it like when you got the endorsement there of the Clintons? I mean, I know you've been good friends with them for decades, but what a wonderful thing to get them both to step up and endorse you.
Well, it was really about my work. All of our encounters, and I certainly have a fondness for both of them, but their interaction with me was work before friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Their appreciation for my work in the Congress, on the Judiciary Committee, the Senate and I, Senator and I worked together to bring the first woman of color statute into the United States Capitol. If you could imagine, there had not been a woman of color statute.
Wow.
We did that. We worked on unfair bankruptcy laws that would impact many families, or women inappropriately. The president, of course, we worked a lot on issues in Africa. And during that time, there was a lot of conflict issues going on. And we worked on issues in the Judiciary Committee, in particular, and the immigration issues we worked on. So I'm very, confident and pleased that their endorsement was based upon the kind of work I did and the kind of worker I am and I was when they were serving in various capacities. They know that I work, and they know that together we produce. And I think that is clearly a key element of their endorsement. And I am grateful because both of them were public servants that had an amazing following and respected them during their public service. And I think that that is evident even today. And so we are grateful for that endorsement. It was exciting.
Oh, it's gotta be exciting.
It is based upon also my message here in Houston. And that message is that the doors of the city will remain open in the most competent, qualified manner. Where staffing will be reflective of the excellence that which I want this city to be run. There will be no self-dealing. Double payment, lobbyist and lawyer. All contracts will be vetted extensively. There will be an in-house person, but dealing with ethics, as well as an in-house office of the inspector. General is a term we use in Washington, but it will be another terminology. And we will protect taxpayers' dollars. We'll work to build a expansive transit mobile system, and we will not forget the homeless and the unhoused and the need for affordable housing, which you are very familiar with. We have to work to get all the mechanics in place to make sure that housing can be built effectively, cost effectively, and as well in a way that spreads it throughout our city.
Amen. Well, you know, before we sign off here, Congresswoman, how can we reach you? You know, where's all the call here, call there. We need volunteers. We need people to, can give people rides. How can people reach you?
www.SheilaForHouston is our site that you can go to. We'll be more than happy to include you in our efforts.
Fantastic. Now, you know, Congresswoman, I always call you Congresswoman, but you know, when you're like you, you know, there's certain people that just are known by one name. Like there's you know, Cher. There's Madonna. Well, there's really Sheila.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I just wanted to say, you know, Sheila, but you know, I want to be respectful, but
all right.
You really have gotten that iconic love from the community. And I just think it's so phenomenal, everything you're doing. And let's hope that next week, actually it's this Saturday,
this
right?
This
Saturday, we have some good results. Congresswoman, go ahead.
That there's early vote going on right now.
Yep.
Gilbert, today, the 4th, and then the 5th. And then the big, big, big day is the 9th. And if you voted in the first election, yes, this is a new election. That doesn't count. You got to vote again. Mm-hmm. If you didn't vote in the first election, doesn't matter. You can vote now. It's a new election. With everyone to get out and vote. And the one thing I want to say, Gilbert, is there have been a lot of innuendo from this PAC called Protect and Serve, very nasty PAC that's playing on race, playing on lies that I defund police. But I've been a major leader on these issues in the United States Congress and have brought in millions for HPD and the Sheriff's Department and certainly federal law enforcement as well. Take no backseat to that. More than my opponent could ever imagine. He hasn't brought any individual dollars in for anything, far as I know. And they're using that. And then they want to pit those of us who worked together all these years, minorities, against each other, whether it's Asians, whether it's Latinos. You need to look to someone where the proof is in the pudding, where I've been known over the years to bring communities together, to respect the talent in all communities, and to ensure rich diversity in all communities as well. And certainly there will be great diversity in my administration as the next mayor of the city of Houston.
Well, you know, so Ruby, you know that old movie, Ghostbusters? Mm-hmm. We're like, who are you gonna call?
Yes.
Well, when I was chairman of Metro, I didn't call Ghostbusters. I called Sheila. No, I really, I'm Sheila, I mean it. I mean, there wasn't any of this. Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters? No, I called Sheila. And you know what? Because she got it done.
That's right.
She got it done. Congresswoman, thank you for being on the show. And hopefully we'll have you back soon. And hopefully it'll be a great victory on Saturday night. And thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. Thanks for all your work. Look forward to talking to you.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Bye-bye.
There you go. That's that. What a public servant right there.
Right.
Right.
I mean, that was incredible for her to take time out of her busy day, because we know she's busy.
She's trying to campaign. Yep. She's probably dealing with stuff in Washington. Mm-hmm. She's got her own life. She's got holidays, and she just took whatever it was, 30 minutes out of her day.
Yeah.
But you know what? What we got more people already.
Right.
Let's see who
well,
we got
can
there.
Can I just say
yeah,
one
you
thing?
Do.
One,
yes,
I'm so grateful for the Congresswoman calling in. But, you know, she really struck a chord on me because she was talking about in both, you know, you all were talking about the funding that Dallas took that we did not take. Well, you know, my husband did his residency in Dallas, so that took us to Dallas for about 2 years, and this was like 25 years ago, right? But Gilbert, I saw firsthand, and I utilized the rail service that they had in place in Dallas. It was incredible, and they, you know, they did take advantage of the federal funds, right? Because they were able to do miles and miles of rail, including going underground, and I used it every day.
They have more than 100 miles.
I think they're
and they
be
go
up
out
to 200.
The, they go to the suburbs and everything.
Yep.
And you know, there's always these people that are like, they're what do you call it? I don't want to say holier than thou, but mm-hmm. you know, they're all, oh no, we don't want to increase the deficit, this and that.
Right.
And of course, until we need money for our community,
right?
And then it's like,
right.
where's the federal
Where
government?
Is it? Yeah.
But here's the thing. It's not as if you can say, well, we're not going to take that money, so let it just go back to the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
That money's going to get allocated.
Right.
And it's going to go to transit. And if Houston doesn't get it, believe me, there are so many other cities that are in line to get it.
Yeah.
Whether it's Denver, whether it's LA, whether it's New York, whether it's Philadelphia, they are all wanting mass transit improvements. They are all wanting more infrastructure improvements, more buses. So you know what? We've got to get that money while we still can.
Yep.
Because soon it's going to be such that the federal government is not going to be able to have the money to help us. So we've got to stay on the alert. So Houston and all everybody, remember, we've got to keep that revenue stream going to Metro, because if not, that will be the end of mass transit. It already crippled us extensively mm-hmm. Back when they took money back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So I know we have another person here. Let's see who we got. Who do we got there, producer? Was it Brother Chris?
I don't think he's
Who's on? Who do you got?
Kevin,
are you there, Kevin?
Hello, Kevin. Kevin, are you there?
Kevin, what do you got for me? Kip from Gilbert.
Hello, Kevin, one moment.
Kevin, what do you got for us? Kevin, are you there?
Voter turnout during the elections and everything.
Kevin, can you hear me?
Can you hear me, George?
I can hear you now. What do you got for us there, my friend?
Yes. Yes, you spoke earlier about how to increase voter turnout during the elections. What can we as a city do to increase ridership on Metro, whether it be buses or rails?
Well, I think in general, one of the things we need to do on rail is complete the system. In other words, we're never going to get the ridership that we hope for until we connect the bus rapid transit, which is over there on Post Oak, with all the rail system, which is over here on Main Street, because both of them are somewhat like independent systems, mm-hmm. but they're meant to be a complete system. So they're meant to be so someone could be working downtown and they can all of a sudden hop on the bus rapid transit or the rail and get over and shop in the Galleria mm-hmm. and come right back. That's what it's meant to be. And so until we complete the system, I just don't think we're going to get the ridership we all hope for. And I don't think it's a good idea to start going to the airports. I think we should be going east-west, connect the two systems right away.
Yeah.
As it relates to buses, et cetera, I think they've made some major improvements. They already are doing things like there's Wi-Fi. There's all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. I just think that we got to build back the ridership, because since COVID, the ridership has been pretty weak. And I think in general, we just got to build it back up. And it's happening with time because people are coming back to work. There are still some people that are wanting to work from home, but there, I think that whole sort of hybrid is sort of bringing people back to the office, and that will naturally build up the ridership. And so my view is the more we publicize it and get the word of how to use it and where it all goes, the better.
Yeah.
And so we just need to make it a priority. So hopefully I answered you your question there, my friend.
Yes, you did.
Well, thank you. And please call again.
I will.
I'm a little I am. I don't know what
you're
it is.
You're just too excited. Talk about rail, it runs in our blood.
Yeah,
you know?
It's just my mind's ahead of my tongue. Who do we got here next?
Well, one thing too, Gilbert, I think if we can talk about as we're on the message of mass transit and rail, there's sad note that to bring up, right? Because this was under your leadership, you brought in such great leadership there at Metro that I know it's coming to an end with Chief Lambert.
Oh my God.
He did so, he continues to do wonderful things, you know, even up to the end, but brings a tear to my eye because I know that, you know, he's ready to retire. And I think that's happening this year.
In fact, so Chief Lambert was head of the police department at Metro.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, I think it was 42 years.
God, can you imagine?
Yes. And when I was Metro chairman, we did something that was unheard of at the time, which is instead of going out for a search and mm-hmm. finding someone from some out of town, and then you bring them in and they get a fat contract, and then 3 or 4 years, you got to run them out of town and they walk away with a bunch of money.
And they don't have the culture.
That's right. So we just broke that whole mode and we said, you know what? We're not going to do that. We're going to look at someone from within and we're going to promote them from within. And in fact, we had Chief. And once a chief, always a chief.
That's right.
We had him without a contract for many years.
Yep.
And it was just a handshake with me and him. And boy, what a great leader he is. He had the moral authority to run the agency. He had the command of everyone's respect.
The passion.
Yes.
The heart.
And he really was Metro through and through. And we are going to miss him. Yeah. What an asset. So I'm going to be speaking at the next Metro board meeting, which I think is not this week, but next week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go before them and I'm going to tell them we've got to, you know, watch our money. Number one. Number two is I'm going to tell them, please consider promoting from within.
Yes.
Because
I mean, that formula has proven to be successful.
That's right.
Why not continue?
That's exactly right. And, you know, again, why bring in somebody, give them a big fat contract. And then, of course, in 5-6 years, they blow it up. Mm-hmm. You got to get rid of them. That's the same model that happens all the time. And then they walk away with a big, you know, severance. Forget all that.
Right. Right.
Let's get someone who knows the system, that knows the community, that knows the elected officials, that knows the routes, that knows the personnel. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Doesn't that make sense?
Yes, it does.
And I'm not even that smart for crying out loud. I do want to do something real quick here, which is, you know, my daughter was this past weekend. She sang at a church with the St. Agnes. And they sang all these Christmas carols. And she's going to be doing the big concert called Messiah on Friday and Saturday of this coming week. So I can't wait to see my beautiful princess. But in support of her, what she's doing, I just wanted to play my favorite Christmas tune. Let's put my favorite Christmas song. It's called The Christmas Song. And this is the king, of course.
Roasting
on an open fire. Oh, I just love this.
That's a beautiful song, yes.
Jack Frost nipping at That's, of course, nose. Nat King Cole, yes, the king.
The great Nat King Cole.
Yuletide carols. Being sung when I was young, we had a little fireplace that burned wood. And my dad and I would sit in front of that fire and we'd just say nothing, but we'd just look at the stuff at the fire and hear the wood popping, you know.
Right. With this song in the background?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it lets you know that Christmas is around the corner.
Yes. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow. That was me, my eyes all aglow. And my kids, when they would, you know, go to sleep, they were like, wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, because Santa's on his way.
Yes. I think as I get older, this has a lot more meaning to me.
Yeah. And every mother's child
is gonna spy to see if my favorite line is coming up.
Let's see how to fly.
And so I'm offering this simple phrase.
This simple phrase right here.
To kids.
From one to 92.
Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful?
Although it's been said
many times, many ways.
Merry Christmas to you.
What a great song.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yes. And you know, this is funny, Ruby, because I don't know about you, but it just seems to get here faster and faster and faster.
This year flew by.
Right? And I don't know if it's just always like that. Maybe that's a sign of growing up or getting older. But it just seems to go so fast. Yeah. And I just want to hang on to every moment.
Yeah. So I'm offering simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92.
1 to 92.
Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas
to you.
My favorite song.
It's a beautiful song.
Oh, Houston, I hope you enjoyed that with me. I think we're going to only have time for one or two more callers. So we've got, I think we have Alex. Alex, are you there?
Hey, Gilbert.
Alex, is that you?
Yes.
What do you got for us here on A Tip from Gilbert?
I just wanted to see if you had like any advice or anything for people that want to stay involved in city government and continue to keep politicians accountable past the election.
Oh, that is so great. Well, first of all, there's so many things. You can always join one of the clubs. And whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, at this stage, look, we all want the same thing, which is a better Houston. Join one of the clubs, one of the neighborhood clubs, because they're involved. So that's one. Another one is get involved at your polling location. Get to know some of your people, the poll workers, because they're typically people that are most involved. Another one is there's all sorts of other groups that are sort of neighborhood type groups that are involved in the community and that really care about hearing from elected officials. And then I also say, stay informed. Mm-hmm. Don't just vote and then you sort of go off in the sunset. You know, be informed, know the issues, read the paper, you know, listen to the radio. And then when you know, the more you know, just talk to your everyday citizens and get them to know what's going on. And then the other thing is participate, whether it's some of these council members like Amy Peck, they have these what's called CIP, which essentially means the different projects they're doing in the district. They'll have these CIP meetings throughout the community. Go to them. Mm-hmm. So you can see what's going on, because you can see what street they're going to work on, what things are fixing, what's the new flood thing they're doing. You can be there. You can see the elected officials and get to know the elected officials. They want to know the citizens, and so do their staffs. So I think there's a whole host of things that you can do to be involved. And it just starts with asking questions and participating. Right, Ruby? What do you think?
I mean, we don't have to wait for an election to come up to then start talking about issues. You know, there are issues every day. And like you said, there's community meetings that take place that I think, you know, no one gets involved in. And these are, you know, it's our community issues that are near and dear to us. So, like, I think it's important that we, like, as you mentioned, to always be involved, not wait for an election. Because sometimes that's too late, right?
That's right.
To make
that's
a decision. Right. Things have already happened. So, and I think as a parent, you know, it's important for us. I think AJ mentioned it this morning, the first call, that as a parent to make sure that you make your kids know or aware of the importance of being involved.
Amen. Alex, thank you for calling us. And please call in again.
Thank you.
I want to read something here, Rudy, because I had a person send this to me when I was running. And if you can see this, this is a mustard seed. And I know it's very small, but it's a little bitty seed. It looks like my, you know, one of my baby's tooth, you know, when they had
I think it's even smaller than that.
And they said here, it's from Hebrews. Tell us what faith is. And it reads, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then Matthew says that Jesus replied to the disciples. Okay, I'm going to let you read it because I think you can do it a little better than I am right now.
Yeah, so Matthew 17:20-21, Jesus replied to his disciples, it is because you don't have enough faith, but I can promise you this. If you had faith larger than the mustard seed, you could tell this mountain to move from here to there, and it would. Everything would be possible.
So the whole message is something as little as this mustard seed could move mountains.
Yeah.
Really struck a chord with me, and I was so grateful that they gave it to me. We have only 1 minute, so let's go ahead and let's play what we can. And Houston, we're going to see you next time, and thank you for being part of A Tip from Gilbert's.
This is Gilbert Andrew Garcia. Listen to my radio show, A Tip from Gilbert. Talk, inspiration, and prayer every Monday from 11 a.m. till noon on Houston's gospel leader, KWWJ. 1360 AM and streaming live on KWWJ.org. Listen on the legendary KYOK 1140 AM and streaming live on KYOKradio.org. KCOH 1230 AM. The Source on Send Geek Radio 95.1 FM 1460 AM and Aliento Radio 101.7 FM and 1540 AM. Call in at 832-570-8075 and follow me on social media. See you then.